Rabbi, good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin 37. And we are going to pick up on Lamed Vav Amud Beis 36b, about five lines up from the bottom. So our shir this morning is dedicated in honor of Yehuda Nissel's Tekes Kunta, joining active duty in the Givati Brigade and being chosen for commander training. We are proud of him and mispala that he and all of our soldiers are successful and safe. And she was dedicated by uncle and aunt Zalman and Shifi Nissel. We wish Yehuda, together with all of our precious soldiers, incredible siyat d'shmaya and success b'chol ma'aseh yedeihim.
Amen.
Yeah, shekalach to the Nissels. Thank you. All right, so let's begin. A lot to do today. So remember, we're picking up five lines up from the bottom right by the two dots. I'm Rabbi Yishon Bat Zarmur and Besad Alavan. So remember again, yesterday we were focusing a little bit more on the machlokes in Rabbi Kippa and Rabbi Yishmael about the nature of chazaka. Everyone is going to agree that you require, quote unquote, 3 years. The shaila is, what is the definition of those years? Are those years 3 calendrical years? Or like Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, we're positing that years 1 and 3 could be a truncated year, whether it's 3 months, 1 month, okay. But the Mishnah then went ahead and qualified this and said this whole discussion is only with a grain field. But let's say again, if you have a field that is made up of fruit trees, all you require is 3 different harvests, 3 different, we'll call it, crop cycles, and then ultimately again would be enough to allow you to go ahead and establish chazakos. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, mid Rabbi Yishmael nishma the Rabbanam. So Abaye says from Bishmal, we're from Bishmal Shita, we could infer or understand about the Shita of the Rabbanam, about the following case. Hayulu shloshim ilanos, mimata asar lebeis asav. If a person had 30 trees, and those 30 trees were planted 10 to a base saw, so 10 fruit trees to a base saw is what we'll call a general, will be the definition of a field, a fruit tree field. So what happens? Achla asara b'shanazu, v'asara b'shanazu, v'asara b'shanazu, harizu chazaka. So also if a person has a field, right, a larger field of 30 trees, but the way that the field is apportioned is, it's 10 fruit trees for every base saw. If a person were to go ahead and harvest the fruit of 10 trees in year 1, 10 trees in year 2, 10 trees in year 3, that would establish chazaka. Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Achol yur b'shanazu harizu chazaka, dekimi shehechzik gimel shanem b'chal asadeh, dekimi shahaya olcha b'chal asadeh masha gadol ba. Because we'll say this act of essentially harvesting 10 trees a year for 3 years is as if you are going ahead and harvesting the entire field, and therefore would count as chazaka. Top of Lamed Zayin. After all, lav mi am Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel not say, chad peira, havi chazaka lekulu peri, because Rabbi Shmuel is on record as saying what Rabbi Shmuel saying, that when you go ahead, see, in order to establish chazaka, Rabbi Shmuel, one need not go ahead and harvest all the fruits in the field. Rather, as soon as one harvests some of the fruit, that's the equivalent as if what? One has harvested all of the fruit. And therefore, again, in this particular case over here, as long as you are harvesting 10 trees a year, that counts as if you harvested the crop, and ultimately, again, you would be able to establish chazaka. Hani nami, sees hacha nami, so too over here, havu chazaka lahani, vahani havu chazaka lahani. Ultimately, again, when you harvest 10 trees in year 1, that's as if you harvested all 30. You harvest the second 10 in year 2, it's as if you harvested all 30. And you harvest the third 10 in year 3, it's as if you harvested all 30. And therefore, by definition, you have chazaka. So now the Gemara qualifies this statement. It says the following, vahani mili. But this is only true. Heicha delo afiku. We'll say this is only true where what? Heichad lafiku. What does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. The Hanimili. It's almost right across in the Rashbam. The Havi Chazaka. When do we say, we'll say that harvesting 10 out of the 30 establishes Chazaka? That's only ba'achilas, excuse me, da'avi chazaka ba'achilas shloshim ilanos b'gimel shanim, ki ha'gavna heichad delo afik achrini, ki ha'esrim lo asuperos, ki ha'masar levad b'chol shanim. Dumya Rabbi Yishmael shemelaket kamasha gadol b'sadas. We'll say, so says the Gemara. Qualification number 1 is that this is only true when only 10 are blooming or are blossoming at a time. In other words, we'll say, when do we say that 10 out of 30 represent the chazaka for the field? That's when each year a different 10 blossom. So therefore, again, we'll say, which makes sense, because then what you're doing is you are harvesting the ones that are blossoming. That counts as if you're establishing a chazaka on the whole field, because those are the only ones that are ripening for that year. So that's what it means. So if you look back at the Gemara, Hanimili, when do we say that making a chazaka on the 10, or I should say harvesting the 10, creates a chazaka on the field? So Hanimili, Heicha de la'afiku. That's only when the other ones, the other 20, are not producing fruit. Aval afiku v'la achal. It will say that at the end of the day, all 30 are blossoming, but you do not go ahead and harvest them, then lo havi chazaka. Then ultimately, again, this would not constitute bona fide chazaka. Then both say, if all of them are blossoming, then in order to establish chazaka, what do you have to do? You have to harvest all of them. Take a look at the Rashbam. Aval I afik Hani ilanos kulhu peiros b'chol shana. But if all 30 are blossoming every single year, bless you, v'lo achal ela yud minayu, and you only harvested 10 of them, lo havi hani yud chazaka l'chaf. The Rebbe says the 10 that you are harvesting do not count as the chazaka for the other 20. The chayvin de lo achal kol apeiros gila al atzmo shasade ina shalom. Because since he's not harvesting all of the fruit, he shows that the field does not belong to him, or all the fields not belong to him. V'yar lahachzik chazaka gimura, and therefore he's fearful of establishing a full chazaka. Ulefichach lo chashash zehama arer limchos lahavi chazaka. Therefore, we'll say the true owner never felt the need to lodge a true objection because the individual is not fully using the field. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting is the following, is that qualification number one is, when do we say that chazaka on some of the trees counts as a chazaka on the whole field? That's only when only some of the trees are blossoming. So essentially what you're doing is, you're harvesting the trees that are blossoming, the other ones are not. That act of partial harvest is enough to establish chazaka on the field, because those are the only ones that are being harvested. Those are the ones that are blossoming. But if all of the trees are blossoming, and you only harvest some of them, then I will say that does not establish chazaka. Furthermore, v'hu debazi ba'azuzi. And I will say qualification number two is that the trees that are blossoming are spread out. Take a look at the Rashbam again. V'hu debazi ba'azuzi. Lashon bezia kilomer v'hani miri dehavi chazaka kisha'achal asar b'chol shana. When do we say that you could establish chazaka if we're only eating 10 out of the 30 every year? Sainu ayidei pizur. That's only if the trees are spread out throughout the field. Sha'achal gimel b'chol beis sa. We'll say this is a situation that Rashbam says where it's three trees in every sa'a of land. Because we'll say if the trees are dispersed, if they're spread out, then I understand. So we'll say, take these two qualifications together. If number one, these are the only trees that are blossoming, and number two, they are spread out, then you could understand how harvesting these particular trees will establish chazaka on the land. He says, but if you're eating all 10 trees in the same base sa'a together, here's the interesting problem. But let's say, for argument's sake, let's say, just to keep this easy, you have 30 trees in three base saw, 10 trees for every saw. So if you're telling me that in year one, the trees in saw number one blossom, you harvest them. Year two, the trees in saw two harvest, blossom, you harvest them. And year three, trees in third base saw blossom, you harvest them. Then all you're doing is what? Each year you're making a chazaka on that base saw, meaning a base saw is the minimum amount of land that constitutes what we'll call a field. So therefore, the fact that you're harvesting one in year one, two in year two, three in year three, doesn't establish a chazaka on anything, because we can reckon those fields as three individual fields. Therefore, in order for the chazaka ultimately to go ahead and count for the entire field, number one, it has to be that only a certain number of trees blossom every single year. That's number one. And number two, they must be scattered throughout the entire year. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara is introducing to us is an interesting concept, which is if you have a field made up of a large number of trees, but at the end of the day, not all of them blossom every single year, you can establish chazaka on a greater tract of land as long as you have these, as long as you meet these two criteria. Number one, that only some of them are, or I should say differently, that you're always harvesting the ones that blossom. And number two is that the trees are dispersed throughout the greater tract of land. If those two realities are present, then lamaisa one could establish the chazaka. Good. Weiter. Zehech sik b'ilanos zehech sik b'karkas. Well, so now we have an interesting case. Let's say you have two people, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben establishes a chazaka by the trees, and Shimon establishes a chazaka ultimately again on the karka, on the land. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Zehech sik b'ilanos zehech sik b'karka. Shnei lekuchos shalach chusada ha'ilan me'adam echad. B'yachad. V'chol ha'karka ha'yotzarech li'ilanos shayinotim kidin sada ilan. V'halchim mituk masugya d'shmaitin. Le'echad machar ha'karka. U'le'echad machar ha'ilanos. V'hech sik kol echad b'shalom. So let's listen to this. So let's say it that an individual, call him seller, sells the trees to Reuven and sells the land to Shimon. So each of these items are being sold to two different people. What happens? Each is machzik, each takes possession of his particular piece. Oh, also shum avodas karka, kol echad bishalo, the karka miknis bekesa bishtar bechazaka, v'lav becheskas shanim mayri, u'behejav arshkanai di b'shnei l'kuchon sves. So we'll say, so that's the case over here. So seller is selling, or seller owns trees and land. He's selling his trees to one person, we'll call him Reuven, and he's selling his land to a second person, we'll call him Shimon. So Amar Rav Zavid, zek kana ilanos, v'zek kana karka. So we'll say Rav Zavid says, Reuven acquires the trees, Shimon acquires the land. So what's he thinking to himself? So no, what does that mean? So take a look at the Rashbam again. Amar Rav Zavid, zek kana ilanos, leperu sehen below karka, shim yafshu ha'ilanos, lo yita acherim bimakoman. So we'll say, so watch this. Rav Zavid says, the owner of the trees acquires the trees, the owner of the land acquires the land. We'll say, what does this mean? That the owner of the trees owns nothing but his trees. He does not own any of the surrounding land. I see, you say to yourself, what does that mean? We'll say, it's a major nafkamina. If his trees die, he no longer has any right to replant a new tree. Rather, again, he owns the tree, and if the tree dies, he's done. He's done. Finish that Rashbam. He says, "Va'afilu miyisham gimel ilanos." Actually, we don't have to read the rest. Fine. So we'll say. So that's Rav Zavid. Maskev Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, 1 second. Imkein ein lo labal ilanos bekarka klum. So if you're telling your Rabosai that when seller sells to two people and he sells to Reuven the trees and Shimon the land, that Reuven, the owner of the trees, has no karka. And therefore, again, he owns none of the land. Therefore, if his trees die, he's done. If that's the case, lema le bal karka la balilanos. So then Rav Papa is saying you could have a situation where the owner of the land could say to the owner of the trees, akor ilancha shakul vizil, uproot your trees, and get out of here. Now, what does he mean, uproot your trees and get out of here? So the Rashbam again says, lema le, kishe yavash ha'ilan, akor ilancha. So this is in a situation. Now, obviously, if the tree is vibrant and healthy, the owner of the land can't say anything to the owner of the trees. But should the trees die, so the owner of the land would essentially be able to say, get your trees out of here. I don't want your trees in my karka. Leimalei kishyava sha'ilan akor ilancha shakul vizil velo sita achar bimkomo. Right? Get your trees out of here. And you have no right to go ahead and plant anything in its place. Aval calls banchu to imperos in yochalomerkin. But the Rashbam just points out, we'll say the owner of the land would never be able to say to the owner of the trees, while the trees are still healthy and vibrant, go ahead and get your trees out of here. It's only once the tree dies that on a technical level the owner of the land could say, I want your tree out. So the Gemara says, Ela amar Rapapa. Rather, Rapapa says you have to learn it differently. So we'll say, so Rapapa considers to be that type of setup untenable. So Rapapa therefore says, amar Rapapa, zekana ilanos v'chatzi karka, v'zekana chatzi karka. So if Rabbi says, Rapapa disagrees with Rav Zavid. And Rapapa says that whenever you buy trees, right, by definition you are never just buying trees. Rather, he says, you get trees in half of the land, and this one gets half of the land. I will say now, the Rashbam points out over here, half of the land doesn't literally mean half of the land. Look at the Rashbam. Zek kan ilanos hechatzi karko, lav dafka chatzi karko, ela hatzorech li ilanos tachtenu b'neyen, v'chutzla kamali ora v'salo. So we'll say, so bottom line, Rav Papa says that when you purchase trees, Rav say you're never just purchasing a tree. Rather, what else are you purchasing? You're purchasing whatever we'll call it, the necessary accompanying land. So we'll say what it turns out is we have a fundamental machlokes between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa about when you purchase a tree, what do you get in that purchase? Rav Zvid says, unless otherwise articulated, all you get is a tree, and you get absolutely no land. Right? Rav Zvid, Rav Papa says no. When you purchase a tree, by definition, that includes surrounding land. But I'll say, what's the practical difference between these two opinions? The practical difference in a case where the tree dies, according to Rav Zvid, the owner of the land could tell the owner of the tree, get your tree out of here. According to Rav Papa, the owner of the tree still has the right to go and uproot his dead tree and replant a new one because he is the owner of the surrounding land as well. Fine, so says Bosa, so the Gemara continues on this theme. So Pshita, Machar Karka, Vishir Ilanos Lefanov. So let's listen to this case. So let's say I am the owner of the field that has trees and Karka. So what happens? I go ahead and I sell Karka, I sell off the land, but I retain the trees for myself. Can I retain the trees for myself? So I'll say, so what does the Gemara say? It's obvious in a case where I sold the land, but retained the trees, yesh lo karka. That's what? That I retain for myself karka, land around the trees. So we'll say, even according to Rav Zvid, what the Gemara is going to suggest, even according to Rav Zvid, who normally says that what? That when you purchase trees, all you get is trees, no land. If I am selling off my own property, and I'm selling off the land, but I'm keeping the trees for myself, I retain for myself land, right? Why, the Gemara says, because even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that what? Under normal circumstances, mocher ba'ayin yofeh mocher, they will say, when you sell, you sell ba'ayin yofeh. Selling ba'ayin yofeh means that you sell in a way that benefits the purchaser. See, even Rabbi Akiva normally says that a sale is structured in a way to benefit the purchaser, agrees over here that I retain the land for myself. Hanimili gabe bor vidus delo mechachasho. That's true when Rabbi Osai, that is true. That is true in a situation where, let's say, I'm selling off property, but retaining ownership over my well or over my cistern. So we'll say, in that kind of case, I don't feel the need necessarily to retain land, because I assume that ultimately the person who I'm selling the land to will give me proper access to my bar. However, we'll say, actually, before we go on, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Machar karka v'shiri elana safar. Let me just catch up here. So the Rashbam says, afidon einon ela beis v'yesh lo karka kede mechia se elana salitzorchon. So I'll say, so remember, again, the Gemara is suggesting over here that if I am the owner of the land, I own trees and I own land, and now what? I sell off my property, that I retain the karka around the trees. That's what we're assuming right now. Why? Because it will say, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that mocher ba'ayin yofeh, look at the Rashbam for just a moment again. Look at the Rashbam. He says, plukted Rabbi Akiva v'rabbanan lekaman ba'mocher ha'sabayis. We'll see this machlokes later on. B'shlim ha'komos kavi mocher ha'sabayis tenan, lo'mocher ha'sayitziyah, v'lo ha'sabar v'lo ha'sadus. Af agav, dekasav lo'um kavruma, v'tzarach likach lo derach l'Rabbi Akiva. De mocher ba'ayin yofeh mocher, v'lo shir b'mechiras o'klum. So we'll say, as we're going to see later on, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that when you sell, a person sells in a way that benefits the purchaser. So we're going to see, for example, I'll say where this comes up, is let's say I'm selling off property, but I still need certain rights of passage. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, generally, I don't necessarily automatically retain those rights of passage for myself. Those would be things that I would have to renegotiate with the purchaser. So even Rabbi Akiva holds mocher ba'ayin yofeh, v'cham rom enozach likach lo derach da mocher ba'ayin roa mocher, v'gai mocher es asod etanan, na mihachi darmina mocher ba'ayin yofeh mocher, v'lo shir es asod derach alech esaborob. So listen to this, Rabosai. So listen to the following case. Okay, I'm sorry, then we'll come back to this. So we're going to see later on that if I go ahead and I sell a field, but in the field is a bar, right? So I'm selling my field to Reuven, but I'm retaining ownership over my bar. So the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Akiva that I bought on is, do we automatically assume that good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Do we automatically assume that I retain a right of passage to my bar or not? Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva says no. We don't automatically assume that I retain the right of passage for myself, but rather it's something I'll have to renegotiate with the purchaser. Chachamim say no. Mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher. We assume when a person sells, he sells in a way that preserves his self-interest, and therefore he preserves his right of interest. So we'll say, watch this. So now the Gemara suggests the following. I'm selling off my field, but I'm retaining my trees. So the Gemara says, even Rabbi Akiva, who normally says, mocher ba'ayin yofem mocher, that means what? That when I sell in a way that benefits the seller. The seller. And therefore, for example, again, I don't retain my right of passage, that's something I have to renegotiate on my own. We'll agree in this case that I still retain the rights of the land around the tree. Why? Look what he says. Last two lines, Vam Zayin Amad Aleph. Hani Mili, because when does Rabbi Akiva say, Mocher Ba'ayin Yofa Mocher? When does Rabbi Akiva say that when you sell, you're benefiting the purchaser? That's Kabe Bar Vidus Tala Mechacha Shu Ara. That's only ultimately, again, by like the case of the well and the, or not the well and the cistern, the pit and the cistern, who will say, where those things do not hurt the surrounding land. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment again. Who, Agabi Barvidos, last Rashbam on the page, who dekaran be Akiva, to lo ikev derach liatzmo silo sabar klum, to lo mechachashu ara, shiocha halokeach lizra al sefaso, for lo yitzak alaf halokeach laakar boro, mikan daha eno maziko klal, hilchach lo osik mocher adaiti laakev laatzmo klum in akarka. So I'll say, in a case of a bar, ultimately, again, so I know that the purchaser could plant even up to the edge of the bar. Therefore, my presence of my bar doesn't really cause him any problems. I'm confident that I'm going to be able to negotiate with him a rite of passage. Avali lonos, when it comes to trees, on the days of Osai, when it comes to trees, the mechacha shi ba'ara, where trees do go ahead and diminish the land, diminish the surrounding land. Take a look at the Rashbam. The kamechachashi hasharoshim bekarka v'gan me'akvin esamacharisha v'adai osik adaiti l'shayir la'atzmo karka silo seilonos k'dei shelo yuchal halokeach la'ar er alov v'lomar k'sheyav shu ilonos sav akor ilonos chashako v'zil d'ha maski la'ari. So we'll say, because trees have roots, and because roots can ultimately again diminish or damage the land, therefore it's assumed that when I sell land and retain trees, I automatically what? Retain land for myself. So we'll see here this interesting idea. Dilo shir le male akor ilona vizil. Out of concern that if my trees die and I don't own any land, the owner of the land could tell me what? Uproot your trees and get out of here. So we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. That even, so remember, here's what we've got. We've got Machlokes, Rav Zavid, and Rav Papa. In general, Machlokes. That when you go ahead and you sell trees to someone, does the sale of the trees include land, surrounding land of the trees or not? Rav Zavid says no. You just buy trees, no karka, unless otherwise stipulated. Rav Papa says yes. Sale of trees always includes what? Surrounding land. Now comes along the Gemara and says, now a modified case. I am the owner of the land. I am selling my land, but I'm retaining the trees. The Shaila is, in that retaining of the trees, do I retain land or not? So the Gemara is suggesting that even according to Rabbi Akiva, who normally says, mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher, which means that when you sell property to someone, even if you have a remaining interest in that property, we do not automatically assume that you retain for yourself a right of passage. We'll agree that in the case of trees, every seller always retains the land around the trees for himself. The logic being, because if I don't retain that land around the trees, in the event that the trees die, then what? Then what? Then the owner of the land has the right to tell me, get my trees out of here, and I have no right to replant trees, says the Gemara. So, well, so that's case number one. Case number two is the reverse. We'll say, what happens if I sold the land? Excuse me, I sold the trees and I retained the land for myself. So we'll say, this is the reverse case. So now in this case over here, I sold the trees to Reuven, but I retained the land for myself. So we'll say, so what's the halacha in this case over here? Chulta Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbanan. So we'll say, this would be the machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. So we'll remember again, let's go back to this in a moment. This the Rashbam already told us. What's the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan? This is mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher, Omocher ba'ayin ra'amocher. When you sell property, are sales normally structured in a way that most benefits the purchaser or that most benefits the seller? Rabbi Akiva holds that sales are structured in a way that most benefits the purchaser. That's mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher. When I sell with a good eye, right, to the interests of the purchaser. And then Rabbanan say, no, mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, that when I sell property, I am interested still in preserving my, being the seller, best interest. Says the Gemara, so in this case over here, I sold trees, but I retained karka for myself. So, plopta, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan, this is going to be my focus in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. Listen to this. So Rabbi Akiva, the amar mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher, isle. So it's according to Rabbi Akiva who holds that when a seller sells, he sells with the ayin yafe, he sells with the best interest of the purchaser in mind, then islay. Then I will say at the end of the day, the purchaser owns the karka. So again, so understand, in this case over here, I am going ahead and selling the trees, retaining the land. So what's the shiloh over here? The shiloh over here is, does the purchaser just have trees, or does he have land around the trees as well? So according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher, that when you go ahead and you sell, that every sale is meant to benefit the purchaser, then what? Then the purchaser doesn't just have trees, the purchaser has the land as well. That's the islay. We'll say, take a look at the Rashman for just a moment. Rabbi Akiva, tamar mocher, ba'ayin yafe mocher, mocher islay, lelokeach makom ha'ilanos. The purchaser will have not just the trees, but will also have the area around the trees. Alayans ala karka, lita achim kom ha'kishulasar. We'll say, remember again, just want to point out the ramifications of having the tree, of having the land around the trees, is a twofold purpose. The Rashbam here is like hyper focused on the ability to replant. In the event that the trees die, having the ability to go out and replant those trees, that is true. But remember, it's also the ability to work the soil around the trees, even before the trees die. However, the Rabbanon, lesley. I was according to the Rabbanon, ultimately again, who holds mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, that when I sell property, I'm interested really in only benefiting my own, the seller's interest, not as much in the purchaser's interest. Therefore, if I'm selling Reuben trees, what am I selling him? I'm just selling him trees and what? No surrounding land. Look at the Rashbam. The Rabbanon Inlo, the Rashbam says, karko. Again, when you purchase trees, all you have are trees and no surrounding karko. Therefore, again, the im yamusu, and if the trees die, lo yita achirim bimekoman. You may not plant other trees in that place. Kidisnan stama konish neilonos lo kona karko. Fine, says the Gemara. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva islay, vaf yulu Rav Zavid. So we'll say, watch this. So according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher, which means what Rabbi said, that when you sell in a way that most benefits the purchaser. So Rabbi Akiva will say, even according to Rav Zavid, the amar inlo. So also remember again, going back for just a moment, so just so we're keeping track of our machlokesim over here. The primary machlokes in the sugya is Rav Zavid and Rav Papa. That's the primary machlokes, right? Rav Zavid says that when you sell trees, so it does not come with surrounding karko. Trees are only trees, not surrounding karko. Rav Papa says, no, whenever you buy trees, you buy karko. So that's the primary machlokes. The secondary machlokes that kind of the Gemara is superimposing on the Rav Zavid and Rav Papa machlokes is the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon, which is a general machlokes just about the nature of transactions, specifically real estate transactions. That do we say mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher or mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher? When at the end of the day you go ahead and you sell something, do we assume that the seller is looking out for the best interest of the purchaser or just for his own best interest? Rabbi Akiva says that when you sell something, you are trying to benefit the purchaser. Rabbanan says when you sell something, the seller is trying to benefit himself. So we are superimposing that machlokes onto the machlokes Rav Zavid and Rav Papa. So both say the natural alignment of these two machlokesim would be that Rabbi Akiva, who holds mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher, will hold like Rav Papa, who holds that when you sell trees, you sell land as well. And the Rabbanon who say mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher would hold like Rav Zavid, who holds that you just get trees and no surrounding karka. So now the Gemara takes a little bit of a twist. So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva islay, va'afilu Rav Zavid. It will say, according to Rabbi Akiva, According to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva would say that when you sell trees, you are also what? You are also selling. You are also selling. Or I should say, when you purchase trees, you're also purchasing some surrounding karka. And Rabbi Akiva would even say that even according to Rav Zavid, the Amra Einlo. So see, even according to Rav Zavid, who says under normal circumstances, the purchase of trees does not come with land. That's when, Hani Mili Gabi Shnei Lekuchos. Well, see, it's actually a very interesting qualification. When does Rav Zavid say that if you purchase trees, you do not get land, the surrounding land along with that tree? That's when Rabbi said there are two purchasers. One person is purchasing land, and one person is purchasing the trees of the same field. Domerle, because Rabbi said, listen to this, because Rav Zavid will say that the owner of the land will say to the owner of the trees, Kihechi dilididi les leilanos. The owner of land will say the same way that I have no trees, right? I purchase land and I own no trees. Lididach nami les lech bakarka. So too, you have no land. As well, say, hear what the Gemara is saying over here. This is really fast. This is really, it's actually quite riveting. Because what the Gemara is suggesting is the following, that Rabbi Akiva is narrowing the focus, or the scope, I should say, of Rav Zavid's ruling. When does Rav Zavid say that when you purchase trees, you get no karka? That's in a very specific case of, let's say again, I'm selling my land, or both say to two people. I'm selling my trees to Reuven and my land to Shimon. So Shimon will say to Reuven, Reuven, just like I don't own any of the trees, right? You're the owner of all the trees. Therefore what? You don't own any land, right? Meaning there is a division of ownership interests over here. That's where Rav Zavid says that the owner of the trees doesn't own any of the land. However, aval hocha, Rabbi say at the end of the day, let's say I am selling ultimately, I am the owner of the land, and all I'm doing is what? I'm selling my trees to someone, but retaining the interests of the land. Then Rabbi Akiva will say, ba'ayin yafa mocher, mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. Rabbi say, in that case, Rabbi Akiva will suggest that what? That halacha l'maisa, again, when I sell with the best interest of the purchaser in mind, and therefore when I sell trees, by definition, that means that I'm selling what? I'm saying the surrounding land as well. So we'll say a very interesting qualification ultimately of Rav Zavid's ruling. The Rabbanon, lastly, afilu Rav Papa de Amar Yeshlo. So we'll say, on the other hand, the Rabbanon who holds that mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, that when you sell something, you sell it not with the best interest of the purchaser in mind. He says the following. The Rabbanon will say, our Shita works even according to Rav Papa. What did Rav Papa say? Rav Papa said, under normal circumstances, when you purchase trees, what do you get? You go ahead and you get the surrounding karka with it as well. Listen to this. So Rabbanon will say, Hani Mili Gabi Shnei Lekuchos. He will say, when does Rav Papa say that if you purchase trees, you get land? That's in a case of where there are two purchasers. I'm selling my land. I'm selling the trees to Reuven and the land to Shimon. Do amar lei ki hechi de lididach zabin ba'ayin yafa. Lididi nami zabin ba'ayin yafa. Because we'll say, remember Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, the same way that silver sold to you ba'ayin yafa, right, for your benefit, he sold to me the trees ba'ayin yafa as well. And for trees ba'ayin yafa means what? That not only do I get the trees, but I get the surrounding earth as well. Aval hocha. But Rabosai over here, mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher. Rabosai over here, it's important to understand that in this case where I'm just selling the trees, or excuse me, differently, where I'm just selling the land, right, but retaining the trees for myself, I sell in a way that what? Benefits me, the seller, and puts you, the purchaser, at a disadvantage. So bottom line, what we have over here is two fundamental machloksim that the Gemara is trying to reconcile with each other. On one hand, the machlok is Rav Papa, Rav Zavid and Rav Papa. On a normal case, when I go ahead and I sell trees to someone, does the sale of trees automatically include the surrounding land to the trees or not? Rav Zavid says no, trees just means trees. Rav Papa says no, trees means trees and surrounding lands. Of course, nafkamina is if the trees die, does the purchaser have the right to go ahead and put in new trees or plant new trees? Rav Zavid says no, Rav Papa says yes. concurrent machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon, in general, we'll say when it comes to real estate transactions, do we say that the seller sells ba'ayin yofa or ba'ayin ra? Machlokes, Rabbi Kiva, and we'll say, I can't tell you enough. This, you're going to see, this machlokes is going to be so ridiculously exciting because you're going to see it's going to have so many ramifications in so many different transactions. This is a fundamental machlokes in the gestalt of real estate transactions. How are real estate transactions structured? Are they always structured for the benefit of the seller or are they always structured for the benefit of the purchaser? Rabbi Akiva says it's always structured for the benefit of the purchaser, which I both say sounds so mind-blowing because really this seems to fly in the business, it seems to fly in the face of like conducting business, right? If I'm conducting business, I'm always looking to structure the transaction for the benefit of me, right? Of the seller, is the person we would assume negotiating the transaction. So I have to see. We'll have to see the svar of Rabbi Akiva as to why everything would be slanted for the benefit of the purchaser. We'll discuss it. Whereas Rabbanan say no. At the end of the day, it's mocher ba'ayin ra mocher. At the end of the day, again, when I'm selling something, every single time I'm the seller, I'm always structuring it for my benefit, the seller's benefit, never for the purchaser's benefit. So we'll discuss this. So we'll say, so bottom line, I know, you're waiting with bated breath. So, what's the halacha? Get to it already. I got it. All right, give me, let me just catch my breath. Right? I know. So I'll say, so listen to this. Halacha l'maisa. No, this actually, by the way, happens to be, I mean, do you get the land around the trees or not? Right? Right? I know, you're jumping out of your seat. Says, you know, we'll say, Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kof Mem Aleph. Sif Yutas, Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Hichsik echad b'ilonis v'achol peroseim, v'echad hichsik b'karach v'zar v'achol peroseim, v'chol echad m'shteim toin sh'akol sh'li v'an l'kaktiv. No, this is the wrong halacha. Okay, no, but it's Sif Yutchav. I printed out, so it's Sif Yutchav. I'm not going to leave you hanging like this. I just printed out the wrong one. So it says, halacha l'maisa, we actually paskin. We paskin like Rav Papa. And we paskin, oh, right? We paskin like Rav Papa. And therefore, we'll say, when you sell trees, the automatic assumption is that the sale of trees comes with surrounding land. Because we'll say, there's an understanding, essentially, that when a person is buying a tree, this is actually an interesting chakira in tree sales. When a person is buying a tree, what they're buying is the right to have an ongoing tree presence. Everybody wants tree presence, right? I'm buying an ongoing right for our ongoing tree presence, which means that even should something happen to this tree right now, I want the ongoing right to know that I could have a tree presence on this spot. Therefore, halacha l'maaseh will say, even if it's not explicitly articulated, whenever you buy a tree, you now we'll discuss, by the way, how much land that actually gives you around. But l'maaseh, you don't just get the tree itself, but rather you're getting the surrounding karka as well, which therefore, for our purposes, means that if that tree dies, you absolutely have the halachic right to uproot, to what? To uproot it and to replant it. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, we paskin like Rav Papa. Now, in terms of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon, we're not weighing in on that yet. That machlokes is still to come. Sorry. That machlokes is still to come. That's actually not our primary sugya. We'll get to that in Samach Gimel. That, you'll just keep that in mind, because that machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon, mocher ba'in yafa, mocher ba'in ra, that's going to keep coming up. Fine. Let's go back there. Amri Naradoim. So let's say we go back there. Amri Naradoim said the following. Another fascinating case. Achlan Ritzufin Eimu Chazaka. So we'll say, this case of Ritzufin is very interesting. Take a look at the Rashbam. It's about six lines in the Rashbam. Not in the widest lines, but in like the intermediate lines. So Achlan Ritzufin Lahani Shloshim Ilanos Kegon Shinetuin Tesa Bebeisa Eimu Chazaka. So we'll say, you have a fine situation. Let's say you have a field with trees. The field is too densely planted. Which means I will say the following. So let's assume for our purposes today that if you have a base of land, you would normally plant 10 trees to a base saw. But let's say you have 15 trees to a base saw, which I will say means that at some point in time, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to uproot trees and replant them, because what happens is if you plant too many trees in one field, the trees will die. There needs to be a certain space. There's a certain, you know, there's like a certain soil nutrient tree ratio. So I'll say, interesting case over here. I am going ahead and harvesting a field. There's what they call Ritzufin. So Rutzupin Rabbah Osei means, again, that ultimately, again, there's too many trees for this particular tract of land. So the Rashbam says over here, Achlan Rutzupin, Lahani Shloshim Ivanos Gigushin, Etuin Tesa Beisa, Eina Chazaka. So we'll say, harvesting the trees in a densely planted field does not constitute Chazaka. Vafilu Achlan Kulan Kol Shaloshan, Lo Achzik, the Mechazki in Shi, Dein Ru'uyin Lekayim El La'akul L'shesh. Because we'll say, listen to this. Even if I go and I harvest that field for 3 years, right, for 3 years, that is not a chazaka. But say, why is it not a chazaka? Because that is not a proper field. That is not a proper field. Since those trees ultimately will have to be uprooted and replanted somewhere else, the act of harvesting them for 3 years is not a normative chazaka. What Shabbos tells you something amazing. That the concept of chazaka means that I'm not only am I harvesting something for 3 years, but I'm harvesting a sustainable crop. Because the way these trees are planted is not a sustainable model, therefore, by definition, harvesting it for 3 years does not count as chazaka. Maskif la Rava. So Rava says, 1 second, that doesn't make sense. So if that's the case, how do you ever go ahead and make a chazaka on aspasta? Well, so we spoke about aspasta a number of times, right? Aspasta is that fast-growing crop, but the way people used to plant aspasta, I will say, is they would, I guess for lack of a better term, they would overplant it. What you would do is you would overplant the field of aspasta with the recognition that you were going to uproot some of those aspasta plants and plant them elsewhere. So says the Gemara, says Rava, how can you ever, so now what you're telling me is, if you have a field that essentially is overcrowded, and therefore by definition, it's going to have to, some of the crop is going to have to be uprooted and planted elsewhere, so that's not a proper chazaka. So how can you ever make a chazaka on an aspasta field when aspasta fields were usually always overplanted? To which the Gemara says, "Elo Amar Rava." Rather, Rava says what it means to see Rabbi Osei is the following: Machron Ritzufin Ein Lo Karka. Rabbi Osei, what it means is the following. Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "Elo Amar Rava." If you want to talk about something regarding overplanted fields, here's what you need to talk about. Look at the Rashbam again. What it means is the following. That if at the end of the day, you sold trees in an overcrowded field, everyone will agree that what? That you do not acquire karka in that type of situation. This is amazing. Now that we just got finished saying what? That we paskin like who? That we paskin like Rapapa. Then when you go ahead and you purchase trees, what else do you purchase? You purchase surrounding land. That's only true in what? In what we'll call a normative field setup. Meaning, in an appropriate field setup where you have the right tree-land ratio. But if you have an overcrowded tract of land, which I both say means, again, by definition, in an agricultural society, if you had an overcrowded field, which means you have more than 10 trees for every base saw, what was going to happen? But nobody's going to let their trees die because that's a criminal law. So what does that mean? It means it's going to be uprooted. It means, so as well, say, essentially, what you would have this, by the way, is you probably would have this like in a nursery situation where people would be, right, Mr. Schoenfeld? Good, you're nodding your head. Right, good. Right, so meaning, again, you would have like a nursery where, again, you would essentially plant saplings and the goal would be to uproot them and plant them somewhere else. So let's say, the Gemara suggesting over here is the following, that if I have this overcrowded field and I sell trees to Reuven, it's understood in that case that what everyone will agree that the sale of those trees does not include surrounding karka. Meaning, even though we just got finished saying that we pass like Rapapa, that when you purchase a tree, you purchase surrounding karka, that's only what we'll call is in a normal, sustainable tree field situation. But over here with this overcrowding, where by definition those trees are going to have to be uprooted, everyone will agree that when you sell a tree in that field, the purchaser is not getting accompanying karka. Machon resufin, ain lo karka. Amrav Rav Zera. So Rav Zera says the truth is ketanoi. In reality, this is a machlokes tanan. Also, we'll just read this quickly, then we'll stop here for today. Kerem shuna tua pachos mi arba amos. So we'll say, if you have a vineyard that is planted in a space of less than dalit amos. Now we'll say, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Rashbam says, Apachos min dalet amos, she'en bein shur l'shur ela gimel amos, eino kerem. We'll say the idea over here is, if you have less than dalet amos between each row of a vineyard, that is not considered to be a halachic vineyard, va'mevi zer l'sham eino loke mishum tizra karmichal kalayim. We'll talk about this. This is interesting. What you'll say to yourself, what are the halachic ramifications of not being deemed a kerem? Very simple. There's a concept called kalaya kerem, which means that you can't sow wheat and vines together. Well, if you have an area where there are vines planted, but there's less than dalet amos between each row of vines, then guess what, Rabosai? That is not called a vineyard. Meaning, in halacha, you can have a place where vines are planted, but it's not called a vineyard. A vineyard is a halachic definition. The definition of a vineyard is where there's dalet amos between each vine. So if there's less than dalet amos, that's not called a vineyard. If it's not called a vineyard, if you plant wheat right there in the middle, guess what? That's not called Kloya Kerem. Amazing. That's not called Kloya Kerem. Sefer Abosei, what do you see from here? So Kerem Shun Atol Apakos Yarba Amos. So Reb Shimon Omer Eno Kerem. Reb Shimon says, Abosei, what do you learn from Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon teaches you, Abosei, that Halocha Lemaisa are in order for a space to be, to conform to a particular halachic definition or framework, the space has to satisfy certain dimensions. It's considered a vineyard. Aye, but how could it be a vineyard if there's less than dalet amos in between each row? To which the Gemara says, the Chum will say, essentially what you would do is, you would view that middle row of the vineyard, of that area, as if it's not there. Now we'll say, if halachically you remove that middle vine, then what ends up happening? You do end up having a space of dalet amos in between one vine and one row of vines and another row of vines, which makes it into a halachic vineyard, which subjects it then to the laws of Kloya Kerem. In other words, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. That when you have a space that does not conform to a particular halachic criteria, a particular halachic definition, so there are two ways to view that space. Either it's a non-conforming space, or B, we just view certain parts of that space as if they don't exist, creating a halachically conforming space. So for example, if you have a vineyard where there's less than dalet amos in between the vines, is that called a vineyard or not? So the Rabbi Zeira will say, no, it doesn't have dalet amos between the rows. Chum will say, no, we just view one of the rows as if it's not there. And if you view one of the rows as if it's not there, therefore what? It becomes a conforming space. So to Rabbi Rabbi the Gemara will suggest, if you have an orchard, that Rabbi Zeira is too densely planted. So do we consider that a proper sadeh or not? Again, the nafkamina being that if you sell trees in that field, does the purchaser get land or not? Machlokes, Rabbi Zeira will say, no, if it's too densely planted, that it's not a normal orchard. If it's not a normal orchard, then you don't get land with the purchase of your tree. Chum say, no, not a problem. We just halachically view it as if what? Some of the trees are not present, making it a halachically conforming space, and therefore the purchaser ultimately, again, will get land along with their trees. We'll say to be continued in Mir Sashem tomorrow.